Morning, everybody. Feeling strong today. Feeling strong. I'm glad you're all here. Again, this is one of my favorite places to be. I don't want to be anywhere else than, I shouldn't say, I like my family too, right? But you're an extension of my family, and this is one of my favorite places to be with you guys, to share and to express the things that God is doing in our lives, right? To build one another up and lift one another up. Now I'm saying all that, but I'm also saying when I'm up here, this is also a very terrifying place to be standing, right? Because I'm trying to tell you what this says, and I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm not perfect, okay? This is a shock. It's a shock. My mom is very surprised right now, so... But this is a hard standard to live up to, right? And this, we're trying to share what this says so that we can all be better followers of Christ, right? Does that make sense? And so this is a fun, isn't probably the best word, but this is a fun and terrifying place to be standing, okay? We're going to be in James. We're going to finish up in James chapter 5. We're not finishing. James... Jimmy is going to finish next week, but we're going to read James chapter 5, 16 and 18 today. So if you want to go ahead and get there and be prepared. We've been talking a lot about prayer recently. Does anybody else, is that ringing a bell with anybody else or Jimmy and I? Jimmy and I have been talking a lot. I'm going to call him James because I can't do Jimmy. James and I have been talking a lot, and what we've been discussing at church the last feels like few months and even beyond is about prayer. And why are we talking about prayer so much? Why is it important, and what does it look like, and what does it do? And before we really get into the meat of where we're going to be, I want to look real quick in James 1, and it says, 1 chapter 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So he's kind of kicking off, and he's talking about prayer, right? He's talking about asking God for things, asking God for wisdom and truth and all that stuff to come into his life so that we know how to act, so that we know how to respond. And then we're getting down towards the end of James, and we're still talking about prayer. We're talking about what it looks like to go to God and ask God for something so that I can look different in this world, right? So I'm going to read real quick. Last week, Chris talked about... The title in my Bible is The Prayer of Faith, and he talked about how we call elders to pray over the sick or the weak or the downtrodden, right? The believer that just feels beat down and put down and he can't go on any longer. And we're talking about praying over those people. We're talking about what it looks like for the elders to do that. And remember, Chris talked about there's nothing magic in the oil. Remember, he talked about he purchased some online once. And he got a prayer cloth too, I believe, which is pretty magnificent. If I were you, I'd try to ask Chris if you can touch that cloth, because it will change your life. But we talked about how what prayer should look like, and we talked about the elders coming and praying over these people. And why are they praying over these people? What is going on? What is happening in that moment that makes that moment mean anything? And here's what it means: the elders should be people who are seeking after God. They should be people who are burying the Word of God deep into their heart, and so they know the words to say, not because they're better than other people, not because they're more super spiritual in some magic kind of way, but it's because they're taking the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and they're hiding it into their heart. And so when they're calling out in prayer, they're not just saying things that they want to say. They are speaking the truth of the gospel of Jesus in their words. Does that make sense? So prayer there's not like a magic prayer to say over somebody. There's not like a magic thing to happen. I was sharing with a student when this church first planted at the community center, and we were talking, and we were talking about praying, and one of the concerns that they had was like, well, am I going to say the right words? Am I going to say the right thing to really be saved? And so we had to take a little bit of a pause and say, there's not a magic word you can say. There's not a specific formula that you follow other than an acknowledgement that I am a sinner, that Jesus is not, and I need him to have a relationship with God, right? That's very generic, but that's the truth of what it looks like. And so I think a lot of times as believers, we're looking for some super spiritual guide of, if I just repeat these things, then it's going to make me better, right? It's going to make me say the right things. But the elders of the church, they were no different than you and I, other than they were should have been people who were bearing the truth of God into their heart so that it was expressed in their life. Does that make sense? Is that fair? Is that okay place to start? That's where I think we should be. And so we're talking about these prayers. We're talking about these prayers for the weak and the downtrodden and the hurting and the people that don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. And so they're calling on the elders to come encourage them through prayer with God, right? And when they do that, here's verse 16. It says, therefore. So because of all of that stuff we just said, because of the prayers of the elders, because the spiritual leaders of the church have been called to come in and pray over me, because I'm hurting and I'm weak and I'm downtrodden and I need encouragement, therefore, what do I do next? Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruits. So these people that are hurting and weak and downtrodden, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to build that relationship with Jesus anymore, right? They're just feeling worn out. And they call on the leaders of the church to come pray for them, the elders to come pray for them. Why? What do they do next? They confess the sins that are being made known in their hearts. Okay, so I'm going to share just a real quick couple of stories about prayer. And I hope you can follow with me. I think Chris probably has talked about this some up here, but a long, long time ago, many years ago, at Choctaw First Baptist. We used to have this crazy Tuesday event at our church, and for some reason, the guy that was my youth pastor at the time, I'm not going to tell you his name, but he's up here most of the time. He had this idea that we would play basketball all afternoon because it's what we all like to do, right? For it felt like hours and hours and hours, and then we would go to this thing called prayer team, right? And I'm, let's say I'm 15 and a half at the time this starts, and I'm like, I don't even know what this means. What is a prayer team? Like, are we going to start doing things like breaking those big blocks of ice and ripping telephone books, right? Does anybody remember those guys? Like, this is what I'm picturing in my head because I'm like, that's cool. Let's set some ice on fire and let me run through it, right? This is what I'm picturing taking place. But we're playing basketball, and this is during school, right? We're doing all these things. We're active, and I don't know, things are probably different for most people, but for me, after school, pretty much every day of the week, I went to the church and hung out with my youth pastor, okay? And we just did goof. We did like Dude Perfect before Dude Perfect was a thing. We just did crazy things like that. But we are tired and we're playing basketball and we're stinky and we're nasty and we go in this room and Chris is like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go around the circle and we're going to pray together. This is what we're going to, we're just going to go around the room and we're going to pray. And I told you that we were active and tired, and there were many times, and I'm going to rat a couple of people out. I'm not going to call their name out, but there were many times we would be going around this circle and praying, and I'm 15 years old. I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't have a lot of life experience. I haven't really buried a lot of the Word of God into my heart. I don't really know what I'm doing. So I'm just supposed to pray. Okay, what does that look like? And when this thing started, we would sit there and it would come to us and we would say a prayer of, and this is going to sound bad, and I don't mean it to sound, but kind of a generic prayer, right? We're just kind of saying words that maybe don't carry a lot of weight, that maybe don't carry a lot of truth. We're saying things like, I know he's sick, help him, right? I know he's scared. Be with him. Right? We're using these very generic phrases. And at the beginning, we're sitting in this room and we're like going around and, you know, we just played basketball for like 3 hours. And then we sit down. And what do you do after you're active? Like, people are sitting there snoring. And it's awkward. But the more that we did this, the more that we spent this time together, the deeper and the richer our prayers began to be. Does that make sense? The less people, the more time we did it, the less people started snoring, okay? Like, because it was important to us. Because at the beginning, we were up there really because we wanted to play basketball. And because we wanted to play basketball, then we got to go to prayer team, right? And so we would go, and it was almost out of like, I don't even know the right word to use, but we would go just because we were there. And we didn't really know what to say. We didn't really know what we were doing, but we were trying to ask God to do things in our lives. And we were trying to pray for our youth group. We were trying to pray for our friends at school. We were trying to pray for family members and for just lost souls. And we were praying for all these people. And through those few years of my life, it was some of the most rich and deep moments that I ever had in prayer. Why? Because we were intentionally getting together consistently, and we were asking God to do things. And the more we did it, the easier it became to flesh the words out to somebody, right? To say the right things. So I'm gonna tell a story, and I don't want my son to get mad at me, but he's writing a report for class, and the report is about two different books. And you've got to give some similarities and some differences of these two main characters. Okay, that's the instruction that I've been given from my son. And so I go to read what he's written, and the first sentence is, in this story and this story, the main characters have some similarities and some differences, which is true. It's very good, right? This is the point of the assignment. I've got to express these things. And so what I spent a lot of time doing was trying to explain to my son that if somebody is not a part of something, if somebody hasn't been there, we really have to flesh out the words for them so they can understand the truth of what's happening in the story. Does that make sense? So when we are praying and we're using generic terms like, and this is going to sound mean, I don't mean, but God be with him. That's very generic, right? God protect him. Why? What do I want God to do with that person? What do I want God to do in that person's life? We pray for missionaries all over the world. And if I just sit down and I say, God be with them when they're in Senegal, what does that mean? What weight does that carry? What truth? So we got to flesh this story out for them. We got to understand what to say, and we've got to. Our prayers have to become deeper than what they are, and when our prayers become deeper, I think they change. So here's kind of my point. I'm going to tell you a story about a movie, and you try to guess what movie this is. Okay, a man sits on a bench and reflects on his life. Forrest Gump, right? I told you 30 seconds, not even 5 seconds, and there's a 2-hour movie about it. Why? Because they fleshed out the story of this person's life, and that's what our prayer life should be like. Do you see the difference in those two things? If I just say a man sat on a bench, like, you're going to be like, yeah, I'll give you $20 to watch that movie. No, you're not going to. But when I flesh the story out, it means something more, right? It grows and it becomes more. And so when we're reading and we're talking about prayer and we're reading in James and I'm seeing all these things, I read in the New Testament, all these people that are talking about prayer, their prayers, a lot of times they're incorporating Old Testament scriptures into their prayers, right? Because they're fleshing out the truth of what is coming out. And these are what our prayers should look like. And when our prayers become different, right? When our prayers become more, whenever we're going to people and we're saying, I need help, right? The sick and weak and put down, and when they're coming and asking for help and we pray over them, then something incredible happens in all of the people involved's lives. And it's this inward reflection of the sin that's in their own. Is that a fair way to say that? Right? The more that I pray, the more that I grow, the more that I want to know who Jesus is, then it brings to light the sin and the difference in my life compared to a holy God. Right? So when I'm praying and when I'm asking God to do things, when I'm asking God to do, therefore, because we're praying, because we're pushing ourselves to pray differently, we're praying deeper, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So the person that's down, how do they get better? They have to confess the sin that's taking place in their life. So this is what I told Chris I wanted to do today. And he didn't like my idea very much, but I wanted to get a marker board up here and just call out for people to name their sins, right? Like, all right, come on, Mom, tell me what your sin is. Come on, Butch, give it to me, right? And that's what I want to do. And we're going to write it up here, and then all of us could see it, and then we could all experience together, and we could be like, yeah, erase that, wipe it away, right? That would be fun, right? No, that would be terrifying for every one of us in this room. We would be just feel nauseous if people knew the truth of what was going on in our hearts. Why? Because we have this fear. I don't know an easy way. We have this fear to be real when we're sitting in the church of what's going on in our lives, right? We're afraid to confess the sin. What? This is a newsflash. Everybody in this room and everybody listening has sin in their life. Every one of us. Now, because of Jesus, that sin can be forgiven and has been forgiven in those of us that have asked, right? But salvation isn't complete yet. Salvation isn't complete until I'm in heaven with Jesus. So I'm walking through this salvation every day of my life. And every day of my life, I need to be shedding some of that sin and getting rid of more and more of that sin. How do I do that? By expressing that to my body of believers, right? By coming in this place and talking to the people that I trust, to the people that I know are going to give me good wisdom, and telling them, man, I am hurting and I am struggling with this. Right? Does that make sense? This should be a place where, yes, we want to acknowledge God and we're trying to proclaim that God is holy and He is great and He is incredible, but let's not put ourselves in that category as well, right? We have to step back and say, what is hindering me from proclaiming who God truly is? Couple of verses I want to, not that one. The eyes of the Lord, this is 1 Peter 3:12. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His eyes are open to their prayer. 1 John 3:21 and 22. If our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence and receive what we ask. So here's what I'm telling you. All of our hearts in this room are, we got a stain on them, right? And we need Jesus to cleanse that. And the deeper and the more we grow and the more we understand, then the more we realize that we are different than God, right? I want to be the same. I want to be more like Him, but I know that I'm different from a holy God, right? But there are plenty of passages that tell us to be holy, for He is holy, right? There are plenty of passages. And how do we get there? How do we do that? We've got to come together as a body and be able to shed the walls and say, this is what I'm struggling with, right? This is where I am falling short of what God is calling me to. And if I come into my body of believers, if I come to the leaders of the church and I say, man, I am struggling, it's going to open my heart up to the things that are keeping me from God, right? There's a lot of passages that we could read. I'm not going to go through all of, I wrote down like 15, but there's a lot of passages that talk about, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, and the prayers of the unrighteous are an abomination, right? So if we don't ever confess our sin, if we don't ever speak what's going on in our lives, if we don't ever ask God to change our hearts, then what we're saying, there's a disconnect going on there, right? But if I can confess what is happening in my life and pray for one another that you may be healed. Has anybody in this room ever felt down in their life at all? One person raised their hand. Okay, a couple, few. Life is hard, right? It's tough. I'm sorry, guys, over here, you younger guys. But life is hard, right? And we thought it was super hard when we were 10 and 12 and 15 and 18. And then it just seems to get harder every year, right? And I know I'm not the oldest person in this room, but if somebody that's older than me can tell me it gets better, please. But life is hard, right? It's difficult. And we need other believers to push us and make us stronger. Does anybody in this room have anybody that they can count on? If something's going on in their life, they call them. First phone call every time. We all have somebody like that in our life. Now, maybe you're sitting here and you're going, I do have somebody like that, but they're not a believer, right? Well, then you're doing it wrong, okay? That's just plain and simple. You're doing it wrong. If you are a believer, your first phone call should be to a trusted source of somebody that you know is studying the truth of God. And when you call that person and you express to them the pain and the hurt that's going on in your life and the sin that is in your life, that person, if this is true in their life, they will take time out to pray for you. Okay? They will take time out to do it. I have 10 of those people in my life. 10. Pretty easily. I will call all of them if I'm really struggling and having a bad day. About, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, Chris was number one on my list to call. And I pulled over in a donut store parking lot and I sat there while he prayed for me over the phone. Why? Because that's what the leaders of the church do for people. And here's what I'm saying. I called Chris, but I'm not saying you must call Chris. That's not the point of what I'm saying. I'm saying we should all be more like that to people who are lost, right? We should all be that first phone call to people who they go, man, I know I'm hurting. I know I'm struggling. James is going to be my first phone call today. John's going to be my first phone call today, right? We should all be that person to somebody. I have, like I said, I've got about 10 guys that I call every time. Every time. And I tell them what's going on, and they do a couple of things. They pray for me. They tell me I'm an idiot, or they tell me to just, you know, pick it up and move along, right? They're honest with me. Why? Because they care about me. Because they want the best for me. Because they want the best for what's going on. So every time I get up here, I tell you this is my favorite place to be. Why? Because this is a place where we get to come together and go, you're being an idiot. Change what you're doing. What you're doing isn't right, right? And we're not all always ready to hear that, right? We're not ready to hear it that bluntly, but I kind of need that in my life, because if you don't tell me, then I don't pick up on it. I'm not good at reading between the lines. You got to tell me that I'm an idiot for me to understand that I'm an idiot, okay? Is that fair? Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. So what should we be doing as a church? It seems pretty clear that James is telling us to be praying over one another. It seems pretty clear that James is telling us to be confessing the sins that are in our lives. It's hard to do, right? I'm not saying that's easy, but it's what we should be doing. Why? That we may be healed. Then it says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. 17 and 18, James focuses on Elijah for just a minute. And there's so much that he could say about Elijah, if you've ever read in the Old Testament. There are so many things in his life that he could say that are incredible. But what he talks about is Elijah's prayer life. Why? Because that was his relationship. That was his connection to God. That was his connection with the holy, living God. And what does it say Elijah does? I'm not saying this is how we should do things right now. Okay, but Elijah prayed for 3.5 years for it not to rain. And what happened? It didn't rain. That's incredible. There is power in prayer. If we can read that he prayed for it not to rain and there was no rain. Now, why would he pray that? Why would he do that? Because people needed to see God. People were stubborn and not looking at him. But this is what he prayed. He prayed that it wouldn't rain. What does it say? Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was just like you and I.
He was just like you and I, and he did what? He prayed fervently for it not to rain. That means, I don't know how to describe what that, like, he's beating his chest, he's on his face before God, he's crying, he's weeping, he's fervently, he's feverishly praying, he's asking God to do things, he's asking God to change the weather so that people can acknowledge God. That's incredible, right? How fervently are you praying in your life? I mean, is your prayer life before a meal? Say, God, give me strength from this. Thank you, God. Be with us. Amen. Right? Is that praying fervently? Now, I'm not saying that you got to hear this both ways. I'm not saying you probably need to go to a restaurant and strip down to sackcloth and ashes and pray on your hands and knees in the restaurant. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? But what I'm saying, if your prayer life, if there's not more to it than just praying over dinner, you're not doing it right. We are not doing it right. There's more going on here. There's more going on in Scripture. He prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. That's incredible. That is incredible. And then what does it say happens at the end of 3.5 years? Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Why? What was special? Because Elijah was a man that was connected to God, and he was praying what was happening in his life, and it was earnest and it was fervent and there was depth to it. He didn't just say a man told a story about his life on a bench, right? He fleshed out his prayers, and his prayers meant something. And whenever we change our prayer life, whenever we change those things, whenever we bury this in our heart, then when we're praying, we'll start to pray these words. Why? Because there's power in this. There's not power in what Josh has to say. There's not power in Josh, but there's power in this. There's power in the truth of who Jesus is and what Jesus is. And when I pray from this, when I pray these words, there's not a prescription of the right words to say. There's not a prescription of it. This is what you do. And I know a lot of us in this room, we want to know, I do this, I do this, I do this equals good prayer. And that's not what it says. But if I'm burying this in my heart, and when I'm praying for somebody that's sick, somebody that's hurting, somebody that's downtrodden, then these words begin to come to life. And they are coming up at the right moment to say and express why, to help that person, to push that person along. Why? Because it leads to healing. And we as a body have got to be deeper in our prayer life, right? We do. All of us in this room, every week since we started this church 16 years ago, Chris gets up here and he holds up a paper, right? And he says, this is our prayer list for different things in our church. How many of us are fervently praying over those things? I'm not. That's pretty honest, right? I'm not fervently praying over those things. Are you? Are we? Do we want to see this church do great things for the kingdom of God? If we do, we must become a praying church. We must be a body that comes together and says, I am struggling. This is what I'm struggling with. Put away the embarrassment. Put away the shame and say, this is what I'm... Now, okay, hear this too. This doesn't mean that we express those things to somebody that walks in for the first time ever. They're not the source. Okay? It needs to be somebody that you know that is committed, okay? And I don't mean that mean if this is your first time walking in this church. But if I don't know you, then it's hard for me to be real about what's going on inside of my life, right? If I don't know you, if I don't have a relationship with you, it's hard for me to be real. So I've got to go to somebody that I can trust and say, this is what's happening in my life. I'm shameful because of this in my life, because of this, right? We're writing all these things on a marker board so everybody can see them. And we're letting everybody know, this is where I failed. This is where I failed. This is where I failed. Now, how terrifying would that be? Would anybody say anything today, right now? Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Would anybody be willing to share what's going on? I don't know that answer. I'm not trying to turn this into a weird moment where we all start yelling things. But would we be willing to do what Scripture says so that we can be healed? so that we can grow, so that we can be better. We're going to continue on next week. James is going to close out James. Jimmy's going to close out James. And he's going to finish out this passage, and it's just a great closing and an encapsulation of what we've been talking about praying for the sick and praying for the wounded and praying for the hurting and praying for the people that are kind of backslidden and falling away. Why are we praying for them? To bring them back. We're praying for healing to happen in their hearts. And it needs to happen in my heart, and it needs to happen in your heart. Each of us in this room, right? I feel like that's a fair assessment. We need to be better, church. And here's where we need to be better at: coming alongside one another and sharpening one another and being able to tell somebody, you're being an idiot right now. You need to change what you're doing. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say idiot up here. I've said it about 1,000 times. But you need to change what's happening in your life, because you're not living up to this standard, right? And if this is a standard, then who in this room can stand up and say, I'm living up to that? None of us. So we got to come before one another, confess what's going on, because we're all hurting. We're all struggling. We all have things in our life that are pushing us away from God, and we need encouragement to overcome that. And this is where that encouragement comes from. This is where that encouragement comes from. If our hearts are clean and right before God. How do they get there? They come on our knees. They come through prayer. They come when we're doing the right things. In James chapter 4, he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. What are we asking God to do? Are we asking God to change our lives so that His kingdom can be great? Or are we just being generic in the words that we're saying? We need to get deep and real about what's going on in our lives, right? And I always kind of hamper back to this, but I did youth ministry for a while, and we would go to church camp, and you would see kids getting real and getting deep, and it's because they were spending time in the Word of God. They were putting this in their heart, and then they come back, and slowly, this just gets more and more set on the side until the next year at camp, right? And so, but adults, at least they were doing it once a year, right? We've got to get into this, and this has got to begin to change who we are. We've got to begin to be real and confess what's keeping us from God. I'm going to pray for us real quick, and I think, I'm not telling anybody what they have to do, but I'm going to go get the marker board. I'm going to bring it up here during this time, and so we can come one at a time, and we're going to write these things. That's not what I'm going to do. But this altar is open for all of us to come and say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I am not living up to your standard of holiness and truth. I am not treating people correctly. I have my mind set on things of this world. I don't believe when I pray that the things that I'm praying are going to happen. Why? Because this is not deep in my heart. So this altar is going to be open, and you can come pray, and you can come ask God to change you. Chris will be in here. I will be up here. If you need to ask somebody to pray for you, come ask. Don't wait. Today is the day. Today is the time. Will you stand and pray with me? And ask God to change your life. Ask God to open up your heart to who He is. All of us in this room could be doing this. All of us in this room. Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for what you are. And we know that in this room, God, all of us have had struggles this week. All of us have had struggles. All of us have had pain. All of us have had hurt. And we need you to make us right. We need you to come inside of us and change the dirtiness of our hearts, God. Wipe it away. Take it away and make us clean and right, so that your kingdom will be made known. God, you are greater than all things. You are better than all things. All the things that we do up here should be for you, God, and we ask that your name would be made great in this room today, not because of us, but in spite of us. God, may we acknowledge, may we go to somebody in this room that we trust and ask for encouragement and hope. God, change who we are. Strip away the filth and right. It's all in your name.